Dan, I feel I gave too many excuses for this Sunday for people. In our gospel reading, according to Matthew, by the way, talking about miracles, it's one miracle after another Jesus performing. But here is something what Jesus says. You did good job, Dan, by reading, but let's refresh our memories what Jesus says. He says, listen to this, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So the harvest is great out there, but the ones who are working on that harvest are not enough, not many enough, they are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And the church, here where we are, this is where we are. Harvest is plentiful everywhere. But the ones who are working on this harvest, they are too few, not many at all. Now, the Lord answered to this need of more harvesters, more workers on the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit came down and the Church of Christ was born. And the Holy Spirit is now empowering ordinary church members like you, friends here in the sanctuary and some folks at home, to be workers in the great harvest which is at hand. Great harvest is at hand. And even here in Madison County, 40 years ago, 90% of Madison County people, which is much less than today, we are close to 100,000 population here in Madison County, and it's growing, some areas faster than others. Today, after research, probably around 12% of our population here in Madison County say they go regularly to some church. They are members of a church, and they are there just about every Sunday. Huge change. During the last 10 years, there are 40 more churches in our county. Can you count it? 40 more churches. And less Christians attending these churches than ever before. So if it has ever been time to ask the Lord to send more workers and even asking for him to perform miracles through people who are working, it is now. This is now the time to ask that miracle to happen. Well, you are right. To adequately explain the gift of miracles in a biblical way is a true challenge. It is not easy to explain. If you believe in God like we do, a God who created the universe, yes, we believe in that, sustains, and God who controls it, then you must also believe in the reality of miracles. Look at your Bible. If you pull miracles out of your Bible, what do you have left? Very little. Yes, you are right, cover sheets, but it doesn't take miracle to put cover sheets on your Bible. Everything else in your Bible is based on miracles, one way or another. If, however, you believe in a natural world, that many people do, that is controlled by universal and unalterable laws, you probably have difficulties believing in miracles. You can't see it that way. So let me say first, there are different definitions have been given for the term miracles. When I was working on my doctoral research years ago, and my theme was the concept of pneuma, It's a Greek word means spiritual or referring also to Holy Spirit. It was comparable study considering how different denominations and theological traditions understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in the church. I got lots of material. Even this sermon series is part of that material. To change it from research to preaching material, it's sometimes a little bit challenging. But here are three references from different dictionaries about how they explain what miracle is all about. Here is Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. This is volume 3, Abington Press in Nashville, Tennessee. Here's what they say. A miracle is any event, whether natural or supernatural, in which one sees a revelation of God. Whether a miracle is outside the laws of nature or a violation of them is essentially irrelevant for faith. Yeah? Well, if you are a Sunday school teacher and you start talking like this, they may ask, what's wrong with you this morning? You are not making much sense. And that just proves difficulty to explain what miracles are all about. Webster, New Collegiate Dictionary, Springfield, Missouri, source says, a miracle is an event or effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of these laws. An extraordinary, anomalous, or abnormal event brought about superhuman agency. A wonder or wonderful thing, a marvel. Third reference, it comes from, I have quite a few of these dictionaries in my library. Bilibet Bible Dictionary, this is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, says, a miracle is not the breaking of a law of nature. It is not an interference with or suspicion of the unchanging uninformity of the laws of the universe. It is simply a personal God putting his will into the laws of nature. It is God's doing with his infinity power, the same quality of action, thought vastly greater in decree that we do every hour when we exert our personal will amid the forces of nature. Of course, I don't want to say that this opens up the whole mystery of miracles. Maybe it gives little hints here and there. But then the New Testament, I have noticed that the New Testament miracles are described actually in four terms. And you can check it out in your Bibles. The first is signs. New Testament talks about signs. This term is found 70 times, count it if you don't believe me, 70 times in the New Testament. And it's used for a mark of identification. Signs. Signs of something abnormal. Signs of something very different. The signs point something outside of themselves. Remember when Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And Luke is writing it down, what happened in the book of Acts of Apostles. In Acts 2:3, he says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Signs, they look like flames of fire. Flames or tongues of fire, excuse me, appearing and settling on each of them. I'm not quite sure, but this is what I saw. That was the sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So what was happening was much more greater than what the writer was able to write down. Can you hear him say, excuse me, please, I can't say it clearly enough, but it seems like flames or tongues of fire. And then you say, well, it really doesn't make much sense. But what I'm hearing that you saw some signs, but the thing that was happening was much greater than the signs, actually, even as different they were. Signs are blessed or token of the presence and power of God. The truth of divine revelation, the law and heart of the Father, and the credential of the messenger, of course. Then Bible secondly talks about wonders in the New Testament. This term found 16 times in the New Testament. And it is used to indicate the creator and reaction of awe or terror even. I can say it, everything went upside down. It was a wonder, it was an awe. Can't explain it. Wonders are the astonishing manifestations of God attracting people's promises. Then New Testament talks about powers. And some of you have been praying for power for yourself. Power for many things. Now this term, power, is found 9 times in the New Testament. And refers to the powers that performs the act itself. It is something outside of nature. It reveals to the power of Almighty God to save and to help in times of trouble. The parting of waters at the Red Sea is a good example about powers. And then there are works. New Testament talks about works, talking about miracles. Works. And these terms refer to the actual acts. Works are demonstration of guidance of love. God's love. God is working on it. If it takes a miracle, he's going to do it. Healing of sickness is a good example about this. And something general before we pray about miracles. Now, about God's miracles, we should know something that we can connect with. First of all, miracles. Our writing is referring to somebody who is performing miracles, not on his own power, on her own power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's actually the one who is doing the miracle. We are just instruments for his power. But miracles are performed by good people. Don't never go there if somebody's full of hatred, promising you to perform miracles for you, asking you to please join, go 100 miles to different direction. What he or she is about to do has nothing to do with God's miracles. Miracles are performed by good people, by God people. They are not magic. They are normal things to God. To us, they are miracles. But God is doing it for the sake of his love and mercy. They attest to God's awesome and sovereign power. Miracles are helpful blessings, never done merely to impress people or just for the sake of wonder. They are expression of God's holy character, compassion and love to all people. Do we need miracles in today's church? Yes, we do. It is sad that so many people who say that ministers have ruined the Pentecost, making it sound something weird. Yeah, there are lots of that we don't understand. But Pentecost is actually the greatest blessing, because through the Pentecost, the Church of Christ was founded. God will change his accustomed ways of doing things to meet people's needs by performing miracles through his servants or directly acting on his own. Now, miracles of the past, that we read from the Bible, both from the Old Testament and New Testament, sometimes give us certain perspective to see, where do I need miracle today? So read Bible about miracles. In the past, for example, a miracle was calming a stormy sea. Remember Jesus just saying a word to the stormy lake or sea. It's the same waters. Sea of Tiberias or Lake of Genesaret or Lake of Galilee. Galilee is the same waters. Sometimes it is being called by sea or sometimes just a lake, but it's a big waters. Yes, Jesus can calm the stormy sea. How about calming today your anxious mind? Would that take miracle for Jesus to do that? In the past, a miracle was feeding 5,000 with the little boy's lunch sandwiches. Well, there was really more. There's 5 loaves of bread and then 2 Twinkies. But it was a miracle performed, who? By disciples under the blessing of Jesus. Disciples were the ones who were praying the bread. And I'm sure these guys was having a hard time. This is not just going to run out. And they were talking about, was it 5 loaves of bread only? That's what I thought. But we've been feeding thousands of people and we still have the same bread here in our hands. Same thing with the fish. You see, it was Jesus, it was a miracle under the hands of Jesus, but the disciples were performing it for the sake of love for these people. And then in the past, a miracle was given sight to a physically blind person. There are actually more than one in the Bible. Not that Jesus cannot do it. I've been praying clear more eyesight for my right eye myself. Today, it may be enabling those who are spiritually blinded to help them to see. Oh boy, would that be a big thing to do, even here in our home territory and all over the world. In the past, a miracle was raising a physically dead person to life. Yes, Jesus can do that. I believe he can. How about today raising those who are dead in sin to a new life? Would you think it takes a miracle to do that? When I was a young preacher, I really tried to make somebody a Christian. And the ones who were closest to me, my family members, I'm telling you, I was working hard on them. I wanted to make them Christians all of a sudden. And the harder I worked, the further they got from me. You have probably experienced the same thing. Friends, it takes a miracle to bring somebody to Jesus, to have that spiritual transformation to take place. Yes, we can witness, we can pray, but God does the work. But talking about miracles, now you say, well, Timo, you are right about that. But I'm dealing with something today in my life that I have come to a conclusion that it really does take a miracle for that to be taken care of. It may be you in your life, maybe your spouse, it may be your family, maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren. It may be your coworker, it may be your church. Whatever it is, you have just come to that conclusion, Lord Jesus, it takes a miracle to bring change to this matter. So if you have something like that, or you believe somebody close to you are dealing with matters, it really takes a miracle. Let's pray for that right now, okay? We have prayer time a little bit later. So if you believe you are sitting with somebody who you feel comfortable, probably taking his hand, her hand, maybe your spouse, with your spouse. Maybe you are by yourself and you're fine with that. But if you are sitting somebody you feel comfortable to pray together, asking God to please perform miracle, you say, Jesus, I haven't asked this too many times, but now I'm asking, I'm reading about this from the Bible, and I feel that this is what it takes to make a change and difference in this matter. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray for now, for it now. So let's have a prayer, and please find your friend if you can, if you feel comfortable. This is not musting, but if there's somebody next to you, you can find his or her hand, touch it, and let's pray together in the name of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, as we are learning about miracles, as we are learning about performing miracles, as we are learning about your Holy Spirit empowering your church and empowering your people to be instruments for your miracles to take place in my life, in the life of my loved one, in the life of my family, in the life of matters that are way beyond my strength and wisdom. I am asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to please perform a miracle for the glory of God, so that this thing will change and the divine transformation will take place. Solution will take place in this matter, with this matter. Lord, so we can witness that it was you who took over this matter. It was you who performed miracle. It was you who blessed it. And it was you who brought change that is obvious. In your name, Lord Jesus, I trust this matter. And I'm waiting for the miracle to take place for your glory and for the sake of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, we continue the prayer time after a little while, but now we are worshiping by the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time for this prayer.